Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Debate continues concerning the November 2020 election. Many are still out there demanding to know what happened, using right to know request, addressing elected officials, consulting computer experts, signing petitions, etc., etc. But let's face it, there are still too many unanswered questions. The midterm elections are right around the corner. Remember, it's November 8th. This election will help determine the future of our nation. All elections are important, but this one stands out as a representative republic, not a pure democracy, as one particular political party claims, hangs in the balance. As mentioned earlier, much is still going on behind the scenes to try to answer lingering questions. One thing that has come to light is Eric. My guest today is Kat Stansel. She's with the American Policy Center. Thanks, Kat, for being with us.
Thank you, Diane, for asking me. Eric is a subject of much confusion, although we are starting to get the word out. We've been reporting on it for a year.
Yeah, I had never heard of Eric, except our oldest son's named Eric. But anyway, I never heard of Eric until I started reading your articles there on American Policy Center's website. And I was just like, whoa. You know, many people were worried after the November 3rd, 2020 election. And there's no question there was something going on. There was cause for worry back then. Is there still concern? Or really, is there still cause for concern as we go into this next election?
Yes, I wish I could say no, but yes, there definitely is cause for concern. The longer we have let this go, and I say we just as the general voting public, I will have to stop here and emphasize this is not an issue of party versus party. Mm-hmm. Everybody's vote gets stolen. Everybody's vote gets watered down by the fraud. It is not a matter of whatever candidate you're supporting by whatever name. Party labels have become meaningless anyway.
Mm-hmm, pretty much so, yeah.
We now have two choices. We have the Constitution or communism. Mm-hmm. And this is a message to every voter in the country. Please identify yourself accordingly. Yeah. It's no more blue fighting red and independent scoffing at everybody. It is the Constitution versus communism. And we need to vote for America because our gift of freedom here is matchless the world over.
And it's definitely hanging in the balance. And yeah, I think the blue state, red state fight is almost like as a diversionary tactic to get our minds off what's happening in the country, whether it be the economy or gas or the vast overreach of the federal government and the increased overreach of the federal government and, you know, state government in many cases. I know here in Pennsylvania, there were efforts made right after the November 2020 election to try to get to the bottom of what happened. And the rank and file, many of the rank and file members of the House and Senate wanted to find out what happened, but it was leadership. And the GOP controls both the House and Senate here in PA. We have a Democrat governor, Democrat attorney general, but the GOP leadership refused to allow investigations to take place. So I agree. It's not a matter of Democrats against Republicans. It's a matter of the establishment, the ones who want to retain their control, and the ones who are not, you know, don't care what really, they don't care what happens to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania or the nation. They want to keep their control no matter what the cost to the rest of the country.
It's simple. We vote for the Constitution mm-hmm. or communism. Yeah. And every member of every elected official needs to have that fact put in their face.
Yeah.
If they are not with that concept, they're complicit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Period. You brought in the creeping federalism, if you will, in elections. And I was going to talk about that. You asked at one point, does federal law require voter roll?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yes, it does. However, federal government has no place in elections. It never has, and it should not have been allowed to be. But we allowed it, so it's our fault.
Because we don't know what the Constitution says. Yeah,
it's our fix.
And wasn't that laws, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, that was passed in 93, right, under Bill Clinton, the Help America Vote Act. Or the, not that one, but
National Voter Registration,
right.
The Voter Act was passed in 93 under Clinton. Now, let me back up one more step. In 1992, we signed the soft treaty called the UN Agendas.
Oh.
That is what started this whole thing rolling. Immediately, Clinton started a President's Council on Sustainability, and off we went. smart this, sustainable that, green vote was in everybody's track from then on. And the NVRA is no coincidence. The federal government has always wanted to wave the boogeyman of disenfranchisement in front of everybody's face to begin to take control of the federal elections. And they have done so, as is usual, creeping step by creeping step.
Yeah, they're good at that.
Yep. And both of those, NVRA 1993, which if people haven't heard of that, it's the Motor Voter Act. It's the one that said that you must provide voter registration forms at every driver's license bureau. And that got to be a real problem because you had ID card applicants and green card applicants, all of whom were rolled into the DMV list. And Eric was loving to take advantage of that. But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Elections are the responsibility of the state and its citizens. And you have to start on a local basis. We'll get back into that later. But know that UN Agenda 1992 brought on NVRA 1993, have a Help America Vote Act of 2002 under Clinton.
In 2002 brought, under George Bush, yeah. 2002.
I'm sorry, under George Bush, mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. And that got everything rolling. Now, Eric stands for the Electronic Registration Information Center. Does not stand for election.
Oh.
Electronic.
Electronic, like computers have control of our voter rolls. Is that what you're saying?
Eric is a massive artificial intelligence database that has rolled every name in every state into our voter rolls and made them almost impossible to cut out. Part of the Eric mandate to members is not only to provide them with all the voter rolls and all the information from every state agency every 6 months, but they have to then solicit those people to vote.
What you said a little bit ago, that they gather names from Department of Motor Vehicles, from was it Social Security also? I mean, just
state health and welfare agencies.
Okay.
Every department of the state that interacts with a citizen has to turn those names into Eric.
And then what does the state do with that? Or what does Eric tell the state to do with that? Anything, or just sits on it?
Eric mandates several things, and that is that they have, well, first of all, mostly they mandate that they submit the data.
Right.
And I'm sorry, it was every 60 days, if I didn't say that correctly.
Yeah, 60
they
days.
Submit all that every 60 days. They also mandate that they pay an annual dues, so Eric is not free.
How much is it?
$25,000. Well, depending annually, it depends on the population of the state.
Okay.
The initial membership dues is $25,000 per state. For instance, good old Florida is a member of Eric, and Governor DeSantis has budgeted $575,000 for 2023.
To go to Eric.
He does not.
To go to Eric.
Just to go to Eric.
So $25,000 is just. $25,000 is just the initial membership fee, and then after that, the annual fees are based on the population of the state.
Correct. And the costs to the state and to the taxpayers therein are dependent on how many people they have to reach out to with these roles. Eric mandates that voter registration outreach and the contact continuing all the time. That's very costly to a state.
Oh, yeah. So they take they keep all these lists separate, right? So they have youth, the 16-year-olds who just got their driver's license. They have the undocumented folks who have driver's licenses. Those, you know.
No, Eric keeps nothing separate.
Nothing That's separate. So it's all lumped together. Yeah. So these states who are
a massive artificial intelligence system, yes. And it's data on every American, and that's their goal. The reason I introduced it before I talked about the third national voting bill, remember Nancy Pelosi, the first thing she did when Biden got in office was to jump up with House Bill 1?
Oh, yeah. That was a federal takeover of elections, yeah.
Exactly. And that was the third time they tried that. And HB 1 was, she was hell-bent on election to get it done, literally and figuratively.
Right.
But I introduced Eric in that 2002 to 2021 period because Eric was developed by a passionate progressive by the name of David Becker.
But he's nonpartisan, I'm sure, and he wants to be fair to everybody, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a bit of David Becker's history. But the idea of Eric was to be a stopgap measure for federal election control, to roll as many citizens' names into this massive database as they possibly could, because Obama lost his midterm big time in 2010, as we can all remember.
Mm-hmm.
And David Becker and the election fiends looked at that and thought, uh-oh, we're not not going to get a national voter bill passed anytime soon. So next best thing to being there will be to start this kind of a group, Eric, to roll in as many pieces of data on American citizens as humanly possible.
And apparently non-citizens, too.
Anybody, so that we can control it. But Eric was started in 2012. David Becker worked with the Pew Research Center and a grant by George Soros.
George Soros loves him. Yeah, George Soros loves America, I thought, and wants the best for the country. Ha ha. That's a joke.
Yeah, dripping Sark all the way.
So Eric was started by a grant, with the help of a grant from George Soros, from the Pew Foundation, which got the money from a grant from Soros. Am I connecting all the dots there?
That is correct. George Soros does not finance it. A lot of people like to say, oh, no, Eric has nothing to do with Soros because he doesn't finance it. No, well, he just started it with the help of David Becker, who had been in government service, and he had been...
Had he been with the DOJ or something?
Yes. In 1998, he was part of the voting section of the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ.
Okay.
Then in 2005, while he was still a trial lawyer in the Civil Rights Division, a formal complaint was filed against him after he contacted the city of Boston offering to help defeat a lawsuit that the DOJ had brought against them for voting irregularities and infractions.
So he offered to help the city of Boston win a lawsuit that his department that he worked for had brought against the city?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And he got fired. His boss at that time, a man named Brad Schultzman, said it was the most unethical thing he had ever been and called Becker a hardcore leftist who couldn't stand conservatives. His emails showed it. Everything about David Becker showed it. And a lot of people know the name Hans von Spakovsky, who is now with the Heritage Foundation. Mm-hmm. And he at that time was Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights and agreed with Becker's boss's assessment. He said, this is a quote by von Spakovsky, he said, in his role with the DOJ, he was supposed to be nonpartisan, but his emails uncovered in the Boston investigation recalled nasty, disparaging remarks about Republicans, very unethical and unprofessional.
And these were sent through his DOJ email.
Yep.
I'm assuming. Okay.
Yep. So Becker, then after he got fired from DOJ, of course, nobody ever charged him. Nobody ever arrested him. Part of the problem. We let all these skunks out to roam.
Yep.
And then he joined some more political partisan groups. And he was on CBS News for a short period of time, but he formed ERIC to help gather the information on American voters until they could get a federal election. So ERIC is a stopgap measure.
The ultimate goal is to federalize the elections, which is clearly unconstitutional. But again, as you're saying, we have to know the Constitution to know that something is unconstitutional.
Well, that's true. And frankly, since we've had a coup in 2020, the Constitution is being shredded and used for litter box material while they plant their charges in it.
Yeah.
And there is no two ways about it.
So things are not looking well as we go into this November 8th election. And was there something before Eric, or was Eric the first attempt to clean up the voter rolls as far as using computers and using technology?
Not an attempt to clean up the voter rolls.
Well, that's true. It's not. Yeah. It's takeover of the voting process.
Let me explain how a good state does it. And I have to say that I moved recently to Tennessee, and I just called when you gave me this list of questions. I just called our county election supervisor, because when I first moved here, I called her and said, how do you guys do this? How do you do without a voter roll maintenance organization, an interstate group? She said, it's a full-time job, but we constantly use UPS and Social Security data for the national change of address reports and in the state, and then we watch moving companies, we watch obituaries and papers. She said, we watch everything.
Uh-huh.
And said, we just simply do make sure that when someone registers in Tennessee, we actually send a confirmation to their previous state. And here we tie it in that way.
Wow. And Tennessee is not a member of ERIC, correct?
No, okay. I'll choke the first official who tries it.
Pennsylvania is. And I know that... You know, several situations where kids have moved to other states, but their names have remained on the Pennsylvania voter rolls until they themselves, I mean, their parents cannot have the kids' names removed, saying, well, you know, our son has moved to North Carolina or wherever, but that doesn't matter what the parent says. That child has to contact our county election office to have their names removed. In the meantime, they're still registered in their new state. So they could get away with voting if they're unethical. They could get away with voting in the new state, plus request an absentee ballot from Pennsylvania to vote twice.
And it doesn't have to matter whether the name on the ballot is ethical or unethical. The system uses it. The machinery uses it. That is, that person can get rolled in and voted from another state without their knowledge. In Florida, for instance, a good group of citizen activists have found a massive voter fraud going on in Florida, where the county by county will send out, say, their new voter registration cards and information, because Florida just had redistricting last year. Thousands of them came back addressee unknown. Okay. In other words, but these are not people.
But yet they're registered to vote. They got the addresses from their registration list.
The old registration list, yes. So instead of updating the rules, Lake County, for instance, Lake County in Florida is very good at that. Instead of updating the rules, they have, like, I forget whether it's 19 or 22,000, doesn't matter at that point, yellow labeled envelopes sitting there that they had not taken off the rolls. The citizens discovered this because those addresses came back voted. Now figure that one out.
They came back voted, but the person doesn't live there. That's most interesting.
That's pure fraud.
That's quite clear. That's fraud. Yes, absolutely.
And oddly enough, the election officials in Florida are taking an adversarial position to the citizens who are discovering this.
Wasn't there the situation in Louisiana where they were challenged and actually sued because they were not releasing information that should be available to Louisiana, and that
Louisiana is the one state that has quit ERIC. They have finally resigned from ERIC as of July of 22. Let me read you a quick list of the ERIC member states so people can understand if they have friends or relatives living there. It's Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana just resigned, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts just joined, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nevada, New Jersey just joined, New Mexico, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington State, and the District, as well as West Virginia and Wisconsin. Every one of those states that had the big fraud going on, as they term them, swing states, is a member of ERIC. Over 50% of ERIC members have voter rolls in excess of 100% of all possible eligible voters of voting age.
See, that in itself should be an indication of this voter fraud, that there's some kind of election fraud going on if you have more than 100% of 100% over what's eligible to vote in the state itself.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So, you know, as we're looking at this, and Pennsylvania is on that list, obviously, and we have a Pennsylvania, we have a Democratic governor, Democratic attorney general, Democratic secretary of state, blah, blah, blah. So we know even if the GOP leadership in the state House and state Senate had the courage to do what many of the rank and file members want them to do, to investigate election fraud, the roadblock is the, you know, governor and the secretary of state and the attorney general. Of course, the elections are, you know, we're getting a new governor after the November 8th election, and a new, it depends on who wins the governors as to whether we get anything done to fix this problem, because it's definitely a problem that needs to be addressed.
Now that election time is here, we have a very short period of time, but we need to, first of all, get people to vote only in person on election day.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Never early and never by mail.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, back in 2019, the GOP-controlled House and Senate passed an election reform bill here in PA that legalized no-excuse mail-in ballots, which, when you read the PA Constitution, that's clearly unconstitutional according to Article 7, Section 14A, which says you can request an absentee ballot for these specific reasons. But,
I always have needed a reason before.
Yeah.
The GOP, that's why I say you got to forget party label.
Yeah.
Because they aren't on our side.
Right.
Period.
Right. Yeah.
If they aren't on the side of the Constitution, they're not on the side of America.
Yeah.
They are complicit in the coup.
Yeah.
Period.
Especially.
And that's what you need to let them know.
Yeah.
That's what local people can do. Local people can get together, form strong groups, and go at their local officials and say, okay, the gig's up. You may call yourself a Republican, but we don't believe you unless you help to get into this fight to protect our right to vote. period. Yeah. That's what we have to do.
So on the local level, of course, they have to, local counties have to do what the state says as far as voter rolls. Pennsylvania is part of ERIC, but say my county can't back out of that because it's a state, basically state mandated because we're a member of ERIC, correct?
The citizens of two different states are currently suing their state election officials and their state, like the Secretary of State, to get out of ERIC because it is illegal. HAVA, HAVA of 2002, forbids third-party use of voter rolls.
Oh.
Why was this not done before? I think there's been a whole lot of either. My categories are this. You're either clueless or complicit. If you know about ERIC, you're working against it.
Yeah.
If you don't, you can still be in the clueless category. But if you know about ERIC and are not working against it, you're complicit with the coup that is endangering America's freedom.
Absolutely. So you said HAVA forbids the sharing of voter rolls with third parties. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Help America Vote Out.
Yep.
Wow.
And Michigan and Wisconsin are suing currently to get out of ERIC.
Well, I know in Wisconsin, there was definitely some bad stuff found. I think it was ERIC activity found in or manipulation found in Wisconsin?
Wow. Yes, and David Becker, the founder of ERIC, got right in there too, and he formed a group that took a lot of Zuckerberg bucks and went in and formed a defense council for a defense partnership of lawyers to protect election officials who are attacked about their behavior. In other words, a fraudulent election official, David Becker, will defend them.
Yeah.
He has made this group
Zuckerberg
money.
Protect them from the quote-unquote misinformation about ERIC. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Everybody.
So basically, you're saying this started in 1992 when Bill Clinton signed the UN Agendas Act. So this is all a UN, basically falls under a UN agenda as far as UN effort to remake America?
Well, the UN agenda was the beginning of the globalist program.
Right, yeah. Agenda 21 and 2030 and all that stuff, yeah.
Yep, exactly. Now, you know, there has been other efforts in other different directions, but basically the UN agendas, which Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center has been fighting since its inception.
Yeah, I had him on a couple weeks ago.
He has been called out in 1,000 ways, but it is true that you don't realize it until you write these dates down. UN agenda came along. Oh, it's a soft treaty. We don't have to take Congress to pass.
Right, yeah.
So they signed off on it.
Lies, yeah.
And then immediately followed it up with the NVRA to get control of the election. NVRA added all the voter registration through motor voter agencies, and it also added the state agencies. In other words, your local welfare department now has to turn in its names to the voter rolls. Now, very few of those people actually want to vote.
Exactly.
Anytime, at any place, between 10 and 15% of all of America says, I don't care about voting.
Yep.
I don't feel good enough. I don't understand enough. It takes too much trouble.
And there's nobody worth my vote. There's no candidate out there who's worth my vote. Yeah.
That's what I don't want people to get into the mode of now. It's easy enough to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy enough for people to say, oh, the heck, this is just going on and I'm not going to bother to vote. No, this is your most important vote in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we do not manage to win the chance to turn this around, we're Venezuela.
It's nil. Yeah, for sure. Now, how can folks contact you, Kat?
Okay, it's Kat, K-A-T, at AmericanPolicy.org.
Okay, Kat, K-A-T, at AmericanPolicy.org.
Got several articles on ERIC and on voting and other information, and I will continue to add them there.
And you're being warmly embraced by the states that have ERIC, right? I'm joking.
I really don't care.
Well, that's good because, I mean, that's good that you have thick skin because they are going to definitely throw barbs at you. And apparently it doesn't matter whether there's a D or an R after their name.
There should not be. I mean, like I say, to every R and D and I and L in the crowd, this is all your freedom that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
If the vote gets taken, your freedom is gone too.
Yeah.
What if you really agreed with the next person who ran and you couldn't vote with him because somebody else said, oh, you can't vote that person. Mm-hmm. You don't have any freedom anymore.
Yeah. That's
a Democrat can no longer select. Most of them don't want Biden, but even those who do. If the tide changed and the globalists said, oh, no, Biden's out. No, we're going to use a stopgap measure of DeSantis and Youngkin, for instance, for a couple of years. And we're going to have them run it until we can turn it around again. If they wouldn't vote for, I mean, do you think they wouldn't want their vote to count if they chose not to go that way?
Yeah.
Wow. Anybody would. That's America. That's the beauty of America.
Yeah.
We're at risk of losing it.
We are definitely on the brink of that a cliff, ready to step
over. If people want to know what to do locally really quickly, I will say get a good strong groups together in your state. Take it to your local officials, get them excited about it and what a mess it is and what you think of them for supporting it. And then vote on election day only. Have voter party go around and pick up people who can't drive themselves out of nursing homes. Pick up people, take them to the polls.
Yeah.
Make it a day, make it an ice cream day.
Yeah.
Make it a fun day to get people in your neighborhood, in your church group, in your local senior center out to the polls, not to vote at drop boxes. Then the other thing you can do is have drop box parties for those who are a little more energetic. And for instance, your VFW is a really good source for citizens like this. Organize drop box parties, lots of people with cameras and camper lights, and you just go and you stay there all night or you change, you know, do shifts.
Do shifts, shift work, yeah. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, if they have a loved one in a nursing home, that more than likely a staff member is going to be doing the voting. Not the loved one.
Get out of the nursing homes. Take them to the polls. Mm-hmm. It'll be a fun day.
Absolutely.
They'll remember, enjoy it. I mean, if you have to rent a van and push, you know, wheelchairs,
Yeah.
I mean, the left does it. I've seen them bring nursing home people in school buses.
Wow. Scary stuff.
Down in North Carolina.
In North Carolina, you said?
Oh, yeah. North Carolina, by the way, is going on a trial run of Eric next year. I just about hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
And also, at the same time, they're taking over an 800-acre what used to be a Jewish international religious camp in Greensboro, North Carolina, and they're retrofitting it for aliens. Now, all of those are going to go on the rolls because they're all going to want driver's licenses, and North Carolina is going to be blue by 2024.
That is very scary. We need to read your articles and take action to take control of our country back. There's no question about that.
And if
we
local don't, action. Anything
yeah,
that works.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Kat, for being with us again. To contact Kat, it'd be Kat, K-A-T, at AmericanPolicy.org. Thanks so much,
correct.
And we will definitely get the word out about this.
Thank you, Diane. Thanks for caring.
Okay, take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.